Good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name, the Lord of this church, the Lord of the church. Maybe it has to do with age, I'm not sure, but I'd like to just reminisce for a moment. I believe it was in 2011 that this building looks familiar because we were here for a weekend Bible conference, 2011. I believe the messages were on separation, and I'd like to just bless the brothers and sisters, because I'm looking at a separated church. A church separated unto God, and I praise God for that. And there was a moment in Lodi, and there was a moment in Watkins Glen, and now here we are. We accept the eternal purposes of God, don't we? We don't understand them all. As we traveled this way, I had prepared a sermon for this morning. It's one that I preached recently. It's on an ordinance of headship order. And I was inspired about that subject. But my heart did move from it. And this morning when I got up, I went back. And I'd like to bring a sermon this morning. Maybe by way of introduction, I'll reference, it was exactly 2 years ago today. Well, the third Sunday of January in 2022, that I preached this sermon 2 days prior to my wife's planned, scheduled surgery to remove a tumor from her brain. And I don't know if you've experienced that kind of journey or not, but the shock of discovery was behind us. Medicine had smoothed out the road to allow us to plan for this surgery. Now, surgery seemed like a good thing. It needed to go. The problem is there are consequences to interventions. There are side effects. There are possibilities that are endless. And as I prepared, it was my turn to preach. One minister was gone. The deacon had preached the Sunday before. It was on me. What shall I share? And so I went back to a sermon that I had preached in 2011, a different sermon. And I began to look at it because I just didn't have the heart to prepare another book. Well, let me say this. Allow me to just come along with me. I'm sorry for this long introduction. But I actually wanted to preach a sermon on faith or fear, or faith and fear, because I was thinking about that. Faith or fear, or faith and fear. I believe that the reality of our lives is that we deal in a world of faith and fear, and that's okay. But how do those work together? I never did get to that, and I would have liked to have, and I still wish someone would, to lay that open. What do those two look like? How should they interact? What is healthy? What's normal? And what are the bounds of that? Because we do serve an almighty God. And how do we put that all together? But I couldn't do that Sunday either. And so I went back to a sermon that I had preached. And here's why I'm going to say it. This sermon is very similar to how I preached it in 2011. Is that okay? I think it is, because what I would like to suggest, while there's no doubt that Brother Delbert's situation has stood out to me, and I know it stood out to this congregation, but we do well to always remember that regardless of the message, it applies to the whole. And when I shared this message in 2011, it was instructive and meaningful and necessary in my situation, in the church situation then. And when I shared it in 2022, it was instructive in that moment, just as it was then. And so I pray that today it will do the same. The title is Eternal Father, and the inspiration of it came from a song which we know. And I'll read the first verse of that. If you will, just listen to it. Eternal Father, when to thee, beyond all worlds by faith I soar. Before thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. And so, this morning, regardless of what situation we're about to face that we know of, or that we do not know of, for the situation that we are walking through today, which is many in this congregation, this truth of the Eternal One is our anchor. It has been the anchor of the soul through all of this book. And we see it again and again, and I want to do that this morning. I want to look at men and women of God who laid hold on the Eternal One. Now, that song was written by a Reformed Dutch pastor from Fishkill, New York, eastern side of the state. He was a pastor in New Jersey, and he wrote that hymn, and I personally feel like it has some of the most lofty of thoughts. But it's a hymn, and its inspiration comes from the word, no doubt. What is worship? Maybe somewhat of a disconnected thought, but as I consider the Eternal One, we are thinking this morning, we've come together to worship. We've come together, yes, to study God's word. But the whole of it is to worship the Eternal One, God Himself. What is worship? Well, it's not just some feeling we get. And this morning, it's not just about a feeling that we get. Although I do hope that our hearts are touched, which involves emotion. But it's about an offering that we bring. It's not about a feeling we get, but an offering that we bring. And so I ask you this morning, I ask myself, does the offering we bring have anything to do with our perception of the God we serve? Does the offering we bring have anything to do with my perception of myself? I certainly believe that it does. Perhaps a theme verse that we could consider is Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the Eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The scripture speaks of God. The scriptures speak of God many times, being from everlasting to everlasting and reigning forever and ever. And praise God, in 2024, we can gather here yet on the shores of Seneca Lake, and we can rest in the Eternal One. The Eternal One has His hands in our lives this morning. And so I do want to lift up our eyes. And I want to think about power. I want to think about authority. And I want to think about perfection that is so far above us. As you look at the story of your own life, as you look at the story of this collective body, as you look at the story of the church community here, it is far from perfect. But we gather together this morning to be instructed again from the perfect one. The one who doesn't make mistakes, and those are an easy three or four words to put together, but they're much less difficult, much more difficult to accept. The one who doesn't make mistakes. This morning, there's so much difficulty around us. I think of as you consider the large, as you consider the macro, as you consider this globe and the 7 to 8 billion people that are upon it, and you think about the devastations, you think about the earthquakes and volcanoes, you think about the sickness and diseases, you think about the accidents and the random acts of violence that you read about, that you hear of, that you get close to sometimes. Very close to random acts of violence. You know, this morning, I don't know what you're facing, but I think some of the most difficult things to face would be to face a loss or injury of a loved one through some inexplicable random act of violence. I didn't think about this as I was considering this sermon, but I came very close to that. In probably about 2013, a man went on a shooting spree in our neighborhood, and I pulled out in front of him about 30 seconds before him, never knowing that he was coming up the road shooting anyone that he saw. And the police stopped me because they thought I was the man in the pickup who was doing these things when it was the vehicle behind me. And Anyway, random acts of violence. That kind of violence is in this world. And we're talking about a broken world. We're talking about the pain and the devastation that is part of this fallen creation, as I consider that. There's so much difficulty around us. This life has many uncertainties. This life has fears and pains in it that are strong enough to bring out a response in every person, regardless of how strong you are, how godly you are, how faithful you are. There is moments in life that will bring responses out of us, and we have choices to make with that. Some will respond by reaching for drugs, prescribed or illicit. Sometimes it's all about, you know, just the pleasures of this life, alcohol, drugs, just the excesses in many ways. Some slide into depression and anger. Very real. Very, very real possibilities. How do we navigate through these moments in life? How do we deal with the fear and the anger and those uncertainties? And that's what I wrestle with this morning, and that's what I'm thinking about. You see, we do well to consider these even in our best days, because the moment may arrive in your life. In fact, I suggest to you that it will arrive someplace, somewhere, and that test will come, and you have the opportunity before you. What will I do? And certainly, in our situation, I remember having many fears, and the hardest thing I believe that I ever did was to depart the driveway 3 o'clock in the morning with my wife, who at that point was feeling just fine because medicine was doing its work, and leave the children behind and head for the hospital to enter into a new unknown. And as I pondered that, and as we went through that morning, by the grace of God, as my wife was in surgery and I felt the rawness of all that had gone on the past week or two, I suddenly realized that if my wife is sleeping in the arms of Jesus, so can I. Sleep was needed. And I was able to have a nice, nice nap in my vehicle. They had my phone number. And you see, God can give that to us. God wants to give that to us. And it's those moments when we recognize the power of God. And we recognize the role of faith. And so certainly I felt like I came up short many times in that. But I remember that so distinctly. And God met us there, and I praise God for that. And so as we think about the attributes of God, as we think about that, he is eternal, he is immutable, means that he doesn't change, he is omnipotent, he is all-powerful. He's omniscient, full knowledge, full comprehension, no stone left unturned. He's omnipresent, he's here with us, he's righteous. He's faithful. He's holy. He is incomprehensible. He is above us and beyond us, and we need to accept it. His ways are higher, Scripture tells us, than our ways. Familiar passages. They go beyond the scope of our comprehension and possibilities. Job 11, verse 7 says this, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" No, we cannot. And there are questions and possibilities and that we must leave in the hands of the Almighty. And so there it is. And Paul, as he wrote under inspiration in Romans 11, verse 3, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And that's who our God is. One writer said it this way, "The heathen who knows not God is shrouded in ignorance, mysticism, and superstition. the agnostic, who refuses to know God, though he often prides himself in his intelligence and knowledge, knows absolutely nothing beyond the search of the finite mind. That agnostic can get about this far, right here. Just depends on how many cells he's been blessed with up there, you know, and his connection to some other people who have some brilliance, okay? He knows absolutely nothing between the reach of the finite mind. It is alone the child of God. It is alone the child of God through whose faith access is found to the hidden mysteries which mortal men, unaided, could never fathom. It is those that can speak intelligently of the living God and his wondrous works. What a privilege. I wonder sometimes as I look at our neighbors who seem to pretty much, you know, it's the Sunday afternoon football game. And then it's back into the grind on Monday. And I wonder how small that mind must become. Oh, sure, it can be filled up with stats of the best players and whatever else and whatever else. And it can be filled with all the current concerns of the day or whatever if they want to pay attention to that. But what a privilege and opportunity to come to a place this morning together where we wrestle with thoughts that are beyond us, that are beyond our comprehension. We consider the possibilities and the reality of an almighty God who has an almighty plan and purpose that is so much bigger than any one of us. And I believe that if we apply ourselves even moderately to that, our minds will be, well, they just will look different than your neighbor down the street. And they're going to be bigger. And they're going to comprehend, or they're going to consider more possibilities. And there's going to be lives that are changed because of it. There's going to be lives that look different. And so what an opportunity we have this morning to think of this eternal one, to consider that. Turn with me to Psalms 104. I believe this was another chapter, psalm that was written by David. This morning there are those who may have just, think about the young man who's, just at the prime of health, and who is at peace with God, and he just began a relationship with a young lady that he is, life is just moving forward so well, and this young man comes with this verse, and it says, bless the Lord, and he says, yes, bless the Lord. That's wonderful, and he should, but life is just a little bigger than those moments, isn't it? And so this morning, it is, I believe God's the greatest praise, the greatest worship we can bring the Almighty this morning is when we face all of the difficulties of this life, whatever that might be, and they are sundry, as we face them, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. I like to see that heart in this verse coming out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, feels just a little bit like a proclamation that many can say. But then he continues on and he says, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beam of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariots? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Do you see the word pictures? Did you allow your mind to go into them? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire? Who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Thou hast set a bound in verse 9 that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink and so on. We'll move on here in just a moment. But notice these verses here in the introduction, these opening verses, this power of creation. That's our God. And I trust there's no doubt in your mind that there was in fact a creator, an intelligent designer, regardless of the hubbub of science, so-called, regardless of the theories that are placed, that have been argued for again and again, you see them just begin to crumble as actual, just hard, black and white science says, there's just some really inexplicable things here. We don't know. We just discovered. Now we know it's more complex than we thought. We don't have the answer to that. Oh, it's connected. You know what? There really wasn't so many years between the Neanderthals and whatever. That whole thing. It just keeps. It's because it's a figment of the imagination. It's a theory. And at the heart of that theory is to replace this eternal one. And so there's so much motivation to replace the eternal one. There absolutely is. But this morning we accept that this God, this one who we bless, is the one who has made it all, the one who is sustaining it all, and the one who will bring it to its perfect and final conclusion. And so he is the one. Covers thyself with light as with a garment. No, our God is not one who thunders in darkness. I know there was some really scary things on top of that mountain. And Hebrews talks about that. You see, there was that mountain. It was dark. There was a cloud. And there was that voice and all of that. And God is someone who we give awe and respect to. And he's so powerful. And he is fearful. And we can't approach close to him because we're not prepared to do that. Of course, Hebrews goes on to share with us that we've come now unto Mount Zion and gives that opportunity and that light, as you'll notice that contrast there. But you'll notice it. I just want to notice this light. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Our God is reveals. He brings light to situations. He brings, you know, to where those fears are. Our God's about bringing rest to those things, about bringing peace to those situations. And we do that. One of the key ways that we do that is by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice in verses 13 and on, he watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir tree are her house. And I'll just pause there for a moment. Think about this wealth of provision. You see, God doesn't just, you know, God's trees aren't just alive. They aren't just so making it. They are, as this verse says, full of sap. They're full of sap. And it doesn't just give us just enough to get by. But it says here that there is enough, that our hearts are strengthened, and that our oil makes the face to shine. I'll go ahead and spiritualize some of this because we are blessed and we have so much physical. And I know that that's not always easy, but God does provide. But he's bringing those two together. And we bring them together in our understanding this morning that this view of God, the eternal one, this worship of God, it's more than a feeling, but it's an offering that we bring. And when we bring that, God's saying here, your face is going to shine. There's going to be an oil that I place upon you. There's going to be a bread. There's going to be a fullness of sap. And there's going to be the ability to live and to carry on and to praise God in the midst of that journey. I believe that's what he's teaching us here in this psalm. The provisions of God. And finally, in verses 26 through 34. Well, really, I hate to skip it, but you'll notice. Let's just look at it. He makes the seasons, the moon, the sun, 19, 20. He makes darkness, it's night, and then night comes, and the beasts go out. And the sun arises, and they go back into their dens, and man goes forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening, verse 23. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea wherein things creeping innumerable with small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the faith of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. God's sustaining spirit. God's sustaining spirit continues to bring the structure and the laws and the order to this creation, and it continues to bring praise and worship from those who trust in him. You'll notice that here. I will sing, he says. As David looks at this, as he realizes this eternal one, he says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praises to my God. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Another writer, and I believe this was Steve Ebersole, would pen this somewhere, and I grabbed it, and I'll just read it to you, said this: God is a real being who can overrule in the events of life and reveal his will in little details. This makes life an exciting venture and a secure journey all at the same time. And so even in the midst of some of the most difficult things we face, we see God's hand moving here, touching there. And we do well to remember those and to treasure those. I think God would want us to do that. Turn with me back to Job. I think our devotional leader was there as well this morning. And I want to consider this man. The story of Job is one that's familiar to us. And basically, if you want to just nutshell it, because that's what I'm going to do, Job was a man who was so blessed, and he was a man who never forgot God either. He worshiped God. And he prayed for his children, and we have those accounts in the opening. And then Satan came before God and challenged God about Job. Job lost everything. Not only that, he was struck down with, he lost his sons. We know the account. Daughters. And then he was struck with the physical afflictions of boils. And then his wife told him, why don't you just go ahead and do it? Curse God and die. And then his friends came, and they felt like it was their responsibility to instruct Job with everything where he was wrong. There has to be a problem here, Job. And they made their arguments. Finally, Job actually at some point began to defend himself. He began to defend himself. And finally, Elihu, the youngest, had a couple chapters worth of thoughts here. And we come to the end of what he had to say, and then there was a whirlwind in chapter 38. There was a whirlwind. And the Lord spoke out of a whirlwind. I wish there was a little more context, because we'd like to know what that whirlwind looks like in our life. But the Lord spoke out of the whirlwind here. Seems like that's just a little bit traumatic in and of itself. It's I guess when God's presence comes, it comes with some power and manifestation, and that's what was the case here. And he spoke to Job, and he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" He challenged Job. He said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who set up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it." Notice these amazing proclamations a living God makes. Notice the proclamations of knowledge and truth. Notice these questions that God's asking. The Eternal One is asking of his creation, Job. And he continues on. And I'm going to just sort of move through these passages, not reading all the verses, but it's worth noting. Do we stop and think about all the questions that God asked Job? And he continued on, and he pressed on and on through the next number of chapters. He asked him, "Hast thou perceived," verse 18, "the breadth of the earth? Declare, do you know it? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Knowest thou it?" He said in verse 21, "Because thou wast born then, or because the number of thy days are so great?" And one of the verses is what our brother referenced. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Did you see it? Do you understand it?" And he continues on and on. Verse 28, "Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? What about the heavens? Canst thou bind," 31, "canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" I don't know what your interests are in the heavens. I have very limited knowledge. I have not applied to try to understand to view all the constellations or whatever it is. But I do know this. If it's a dark and a clear night, and I'm outside, I like to consider the heavens. And I think we do well if we have that opportunity, or take the opportunity. You see, since the beginning of time, people didn't spend all their time inside of vehicles with creature comforts like heated seats and, audio and certain pleasantries, pulled into a garage, walked into a house that they spent the rest of their night in, and went about the next day's work. I suggest to you that the generations that are referenced here spent a lot more time in the outdoors and a lot more darkness and light pollution, and they considered the heavens in ways that we forget. And this morning, I believe one of the ways that we can bring our mind and our heart into, bring it down and be and exalt God, is to consider his heavens. And then we just get a small one glimpse again of his greatness and our smallness, and I think we do well to do that. And that's one of the questions that God's asking here. Hey, as you consider the bands of Orion, what can you do about that? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds? And he continues on. And he begins to talk about his animals. Do you know the time of the goats? Verse 39. Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And he continues on. Who set the wild ass free, or who hath loosed the bands of the word? They come from? Verse 5. Can you bind the unicorn in verse 10? And he continues on through this chapter. He talks about the horse in verse 19. Hast thou given the horse his strength? Who hath closed his neck with thunder? He paweth in the valley in verse 21. He rejoices in his strength. And he continues on. Doth the hawk fly by wisdom? Verse 26. 27. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? No. He doesn't. We don't have anything to do with the fact that the eagles make the good choices for their nests and raise up their little ones. We have no say in the matter. Oh, we can put these cameras on them and we can watch the bald eagles, but that's all. We're not manipulating anything, you know. We're not planning their lives. And that's because there's an eternal one. And he continues on into verse 40, or chapter 40. Hast thou an arm like God in verse 9? Canst thou thunder with a voice like him? It seems like he's spending a lot of time here, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why I'm spending just a few minutes. Because there wasn't a purpose in this. There was a response that God was looking for. And we're going to get to it. And he continues on here in chapter 40. And he talks about this behemoth in verse 15. He talks about the tail like a cedar. His bones are strong like pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. And he continues on describing this. And then he goes on to verse 41 to Leviathan. And he spends the whole chapter talking about this creature that God created. God's taken that creature out of this world. Yeah, it is extinct. But this creature, God spent this whole chapter, this moment with Job, describing this creature and how fearful it was and how amazing it was and how strong it was. Verse 29, verse 28, got some hunters here. Arrow can't make them flee. 29, darts are counted as stubble, and so on. He maketh the deep to boil, in verse 31, like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. Upon the earth there is none. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. And so, Job responds. And we see his response here in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he, Job says, that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job was able to arrive at this place, and I believe it was a place that was completely different than the beginning of his life, because he experienced this great distress, this great turmoil, all of this pain, all of this turning against him, the emotional pain that went with that. And then God revealed himself to him, and Job said, I understand. I now have an understanding of who I am and who you are, and I repent in dust and ashes. And we see that heart and that spirit in him. And then God continues on. Job responded in awe, in praise and humility. And so I ask us this morning, who is Creator God in my eyes this morning? In your eyes? Who is Creator God in your eyes this morning? What battle am I willing to lay before his feet and with Job confess the greatness and goodness of God? And that's If you think about that for just a moment, if you let that sink into your heart, that can in one moment bring some fear and some trepidation. And yet you know at the next moment, that's where the blessing and peace rests. The Eternal Father, the angels, the attendants before God proclaim as they do in Isaiah 6:3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." God's earth is still full of his glory. He's working that out in our lives. And his desire is that we would glorify him and that we would praise him and worship him, that we would trust in him, that we would arrive at these places, that we would be able to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." May God help us in that. The eternal God alone is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all of our praise. I'd like to just read the entirety of Eternal Father. Eternal Father, when to thee, beyond all worlds, by faith I soar, before thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. But Savior, thou art by my side, thy voice I hear, thy face I see, thou art my friend, my daily guide, God over all, yet God with me. And thou, great Spirit, in my heart, dost make thy temple day by day. The Holy Ghost of God thou art, yet dwellest in this house of clay. Blessed Trinity, in whom alone all things created move or rest. High in the heavens, thou hast thy throne. Thou hast thy throne within my breast. Let's kneel for prayer.